Go to MorrisForSheriff.com for more information and make your vote count on November 6th. Paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Morris for Douglas County Sheriff.
News Radio 560 KPQ, Michael Knight. The show is called The Agenda. My very special guest is Susan Hutchison, candidate for the U.S. Senate, who joins us today. We talked the last time for the primary, and now we're just days away from the general election, the big midterms, and it's going to be quite a race. What do you think about it so far?
Well, it's very exciting. I have been all over the state, and I just love meeting our folks around, especially Eastern Washington, and hearing what they have to say. There's so much hope that we can have a change of leadership in the U.S. Senate, and that finally we have a Republican representing the state. Republicans are half the state. We know that from data, and we know it by looking at the legislature. So it's long overdue that a Republican represent this state as well.
You say you've traveled about and you've talked to a lot of people. What have you learned that may have surprised you that turns out to be maybe one of the lesser issues you hadn't thought of?
Wow, that's a great question. But let me first say what I hear always wherever I go. And I live in Seattle, so, you know, take that into consideration. I spend a lot of time in my home city of Seattle. But when I get out of the Seattle area, this is what I hear. First, Maria Cantwell has been in office 18 years, and she's never here. We never see her. The second thing I hear is, what has she done for us? In 18 years, what has she ever done? And then the third thing I get, and this is a little more practical, is I've contacted her office, I've written to her, I've called her, whatever they say, and no one ever gets back to me, which is really unusual for a Senate office. But a lot of that has to do with Maria Cantwell's personality and the fact that she can't hold staff. So it is a well-known fact in Washington that her staff is a revolving door. She's been deemed by Politico as the second worst boss in the Senate because people just don't want to work for her.
Well, I'm curious about who the worst boss in the Senate is, but let's not go there. Let's talk about some of the issues that you think that you could change if you're elected.
Well, I think that we really do need a representative from Washington State who represents the point of view of such a large group of people. And I have, for example, and this is important to all of you that are listening, that have anything to do with the agriculture industry. I have the endorsement of the Farm Bureau, and that's a massive organization that represents all the farms, big and small. And they endorsed me early before the primary and afterwards said, we're behind you 200%. So obviously they feel they need representation in the halls of power. One of the things that I've found over the last 5 years, I've been chairman of the Washington State Republican Party, so I represent every single county when I go to the national meetings. And they really have so little respect for our state. In the halls of power of Washington, D.C., they just don't care about our state, and a lot of that has to do with the representation that we have there in the form of our two Democrat senators. So my opponent has decided she's a resistor. Everything she does is to resist the president's policies, no matter how good they would be for the people of Washington State. And she also is a highly partisan. She votes 95% with her caucus, in other words, with the Democrats. And so as she tries to portray herself in election year as being moderate, it's really not true if you look at the record.
If Cantwell is resisting the works and the policies of President Trump, how closely aligned with his policies are you?
Well, it depends upon what they are. As I said in the voter's pamphlet that should be in everybody's hands by now, statewide, I said that when the president's policies are good for Washington State, I support them. And when they're not, I can talk to him, which is very different from Senator Cantwell. She cannot talk to the president. She won't talk to the president. And so I can be an advocate. And I would say one of the most important policies that I've supported, and Maria Cantwell did not, was the jobs cuts and, or rather, the tax cuts and jobs bill, which has done so much to enhance our economic boom. And I don't have to tell you that unemployment in many of our crucial categories is historically low. African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanics, women, young people all have record employment thanks to the policies of the president. That is one of the policies that is good for Washington State. Another was the renegotiation of NAFTA, a very old trade agreement that you know, a generation ago was negotiated needed to be updated. The president worked hard to make sure it would be in the benefit of the people of our country, and certainly Washington State has benefited by the Canadian agreement, where the dairy farmers and the wheat farmers are going to have more favorable conditions with the Canadians. So those are good policies. I think that people are very concerned about the tariffs being levied by China. I've talked to farmers. They say this has been going on for a very long time. It precedes President Trump. And they're willing to wait a very short period of time to see what he's able to accomplish. The Chinese have said they will not negotiate till after the midterms. And so I believe that the president will bring them to terms that are more favorable to this country, and especially to our farmers and our you know, our Boeing companies and tech companies and so forth. We have real trouble with China, and so I hope that the president is successful in able to negotiate agreements, trade agreements with the Chinese. It's long overdue, and we will all benefit if he's able to. If he's not, you can be sure that as a representative of a state that is so dependent on trade, I will be in his ear talking to him about the concerns of the people of our state. I am going to fight for everybody in our state, no matter where they live or what their business is. That is what I promised.
You say you have the endorsement of the Farm Bureau, and you got that endorsement early. What's their view on the tariffs that we've issued against some of our trading partners? Are they working? Are they worried about it? How do you see it?
Well, there's that sense of we're willing to have a little short-term pain for long-term gain. And as I said, most will tell you that they immediately, when the president started playing hardball with the Chinese, they were relieved because they've had to, as one person said to me, the Chinese had declared a trade war against America a couple decades ago, and we didn't show up to fight. And so, in other words, it is to the benefit of all of our farmers that we get a fair and free trade agreement with the Chinese. It is also to the benefit of our tech companies and others in the entrepreneurial space, because they steal intellectual property as a way of life. And this is not good for our folks, and especially for those that have invested so much in building great products and then have the information stolen by the Chinese. We know that just a few weeks ago it came out that they had embedded a chip in the motherboards of computers that are in a lot of major companies, sort of like a Trojan horse that's in there gaining information all the time on a daily, minute-by-minute basis about our major companies. So there are all aspects of the Chinese way of doing things that we have got to fight. And whether it's the farmers and their concerns for their cherries or their apples, or whether it's our tech entrepreneurs or the Boeing company, for that matter.
I hadn't heard about the Chinese embedding a chip in the motherboard of the computers. Do you know what kind of computers those are?
Well, I can't remember the names or the name of the microchip manufacturing company, but it's all under investigation right now, and it is quietly being pursued, and it's something that we all need to be concerned about. My husband just went to China last week, and he was advised by a Chinese-American man that the moment he crossed the border into China from Hong Kong, he was going to be hacked. And so, you know, that's kind of the way of life, and you know, everybody in the conversation nodded and said, yes, we understand that. So the inability for American businessmen and women to travel in China without knowing that their phones and their computers are being hacked is distressing. And we have to understand that when the Chinese start building islands in the South China Sea to build up armament, that's just a more visible picture of the war they've declared on us in so many ways.
In some ways, also, cybersecurity is in certainly a toss-up here at home. We don't know which corporations are going to be hacked, which security numbers and social security numbers. All information could be in play across the country. Is cybersecurity something that this government takes seriously enough, and do you take it seriously?
Oh, it is such an important issue. A few years ago, I talked to a representative from the CIA, and she said that by far it is their most pressing issue. And the Chinese and the Russians are real pros, and we've discovered it over and over as the Chinese have hacked into banking companies, have hacked into entertainment companies. You just never know where they're going to strike. And so we have to really guard for our future and our ability to function as a nation. We really have to guard against this. And I appreciate the fact that the administration is playing hardball going forward. And it's really, we cannot be naive. The Chinese believe that Americans are naive. And we cannot be naive as we go forward.
Running for Senate is an expensive proposition. It's an exhausting proposition. Do you think that right now that you're in the middle of a tight race, do you think that you're in a position to talk about campaign reform? What would you like to see changed?
Well, it's very interesting because my opponent won 18 years ago because she cashed out. She had worked in a tech firm for 4 years, and it was valuable on paper. So she cashed out and spent about $8 million to win her seat. After that, she immediately declared that that money had been a loan, and she held fundraisers to pay herself back. This was not to pay her campaign back. It was to pay back her personal bank account because it had been a so-called loan. Well, 2 years later, the Congress passed an amendment to campaign finance called the Millionaire's Amendment, and it basically said you can't do that because you know what Maria Cantwell, where she was getting money, were the lobbyists that were lining up to pay large sums of money into her personal bank account to pay her back, and no lobbyist, no lawyer for a special interest group contributes to a candidate in order to get no return. They are making an investment and they expect a return. And so what we've seen with Maria Cantwell, she's definitely become a Washington insider, a member of that clique of special interests that really controls so much of the policy decisions in this country. And so I'm running to fight that. I don't have those special interests standing at my door to donate money. And we are just doing everything we can to represent the people with the money that we are collecting. We're setting records on grassroots donations. In fact, nationwide records, we've been told, have been set by our campaign since we started fundraising. But the bottom line is there are a lot of concerns about campaign finance, and you know how it works. Everybody looks at laws as they get passed, and they figure out how they can take advantage of the laws to their best interest. And so now we have what is called dark money, and that is these huge sums to the tune of millions upon millions of dollars being spent in races that are basically unknown. The donors are unknown to an awful lot of people. Every time you see one of those ads that says, tell your congressman or tell your senator to do something, those are issue advocacy ads. All of those are paid for with what's called dark money, meaning no one knows who the donors are behind them. So we've got a gun control measure that's on our ballot this year. It's an initiative to control the use of private citizens' guns. And it's kind of shocking to an awful lot of people who've read it because they realize that it would be illegal to keep a loaded gun in your nightstand if you were fearful of intruders or your own personal safety. And so these are the kind of things that happen, but that initiative is paid for by out-of-state billionaires who come in and fund a few states where they want to get these initiatives passed as the start of a nationwide movement. And so, you know, again, where is the money coming from to support these kinds of efforts? It's coming from the dark money, as it's now being called, and this is where we have to reform again, campaign finance reform.
That's the voice of Susan Hutchison. She's a candidate for U.S. Senate. We'll continue our conversation with Susan Hutchison right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Sharpen your home improvement skills.
Time. From rewiring and lighting to surge protection and safety inspection. Call 221-0597. Ace Electric. Quality is our ace in the hole.
News Radio 560 KPQ. I'm Michael Knight. The show is called The Agenda. Our very special guest today is candidate for U.S. Senate Susan Hutchison, who's been kind enough to join us today. I want to thank you for taking some time to do so, candidate. And also, let's talk about the characterization of this campaign. Every campaign has a personality. This one has not been as dirty as some. Are you comfortable with the back and forth so far?
Well, you know, I'm not anybody who would conduct a dirty campaign. I can assure you that. I just want to, when I get in front of people, I just want to explain the issues. And it's funny, I've had, because my opponent, you know, at first would not even agree to one debate, much less debates across the state, I had challenged her to come meet me in each of the congressional districts. They're all basically the same size by population, so they're all equally important. And when she refused to even respond to that or agree to debates that had been planned by the debate coalition, I began to hold town halls, and I've been all over the state. And last night we were in Kitsap County. It was an extraordinary turnout and great enthusiasm. But I always start by saying this is not a closed meeting. It's been publicly announced. There are Democrats, independents, and Republicans in this room. I'm here to listen to you as much as you may want to ask me questions. I want to hear your concerns for this particular region of the state. And sure enough, when I was in Ellensburg, there was a group of people from Indivisible. Do you know what that organization is? It's one of the action groups that came out of the Resist movement. They're very organized, and they do protests and so forth. So these people were sitting in my town hall, and do you know, by the end of the town hall, they were actually applauding. They heard me speak on issues that actually mattered to them, and they agreed. And so I remember a very enthusiastic applause when I gave a solution to our veterans' needs. You know, so many of our veterans have to travel so far in order to get care, and I talked about how we need to reform our Veterans Administration hospital and medical benefits plan so that it's more efficient and serves our veterans better. And, of course, there was uproarious cheers, but these folks were cheering as well. And so last night we had somebody, you know, who was a Cantwell supporter in the room. We had a Bernie supporter, and she said, "I converted her." So this is the power of ideas. You start talking straight to people, and you can convert them from their old point of view. And that's what I've set out to do in my campaign.
Also, it takes some courage. Many candidates are shy away from the idea of a town hall meeting because they can get out of control, or they can be faced with issues that they don't want to discuss. And that takes some courage to go before the public on your feet like that.
Well, you know, I'm not afraid of any confrontation. I'm a fighter. You know, I fought for the people of Washington State when I was chairman of the GOP for the last half decade. And you know, we had fights inside the Republican Party. When I took over, we were very divided. And I heard somebody even say last night that when Susan became chairman, the minority voice was never heard. But once she became chairman, she allowed the minority to speak, and every once in a while they could convince the majority to join them, and they would get things passed. But other times they just felt grateful that I had allowed their voice to be heard. And that's really a crying need of everybody across Washington. People just want their voice to be heard. And I'm the kind of person that believes everybody has value and everybody has worth, and they have opinions based on their own experiences and knowledge. So it's my job to hear about their experience and then also to share perhaps a new way of looking at things if we disagree. I think we need way more civil discourse. It disturbs me greatly that our Democrat leaders, not our Democratic, but our Democrat leaders, meaning those who represent the Democrat Party, have been unable to condemn the violence and the mob behavior that we've seen so much in the last months and weeks. So let's have a civil discourse, and may the best ideas win.
The state of Washington has a thriving economy, but it still has a deficit. How are we going to get those things to sync up? It seems like they should, but they don't.
Well, the state of Washington and the United States have a debt problem, and certainly it was great that we elected a Republican to be our U.S. treasurer or our state treasurer in 2016, Dwayne Davidson, and he's gone in there and he's seen all kinds of waste and abuse that he's taking care of in his role as state treasurer. But there's no question that we are the richest that we have ever been in this state. There were lots of parts of this state that didn't experience much of a recession after 2008, and certainly now in the city of Seattle, they're bringing in more tax revenue than they ever have in history, and yet they're still crying for more. This is the insatiable monster that the Democrats have become as their left wing has taken control. It is that idea that we should be working in order to pay the government to provide all services to us, whether we need it or not. And so an African-American woman came up to me recently in at one of the state fairs, and she said, "Susan, I'm not a Republican, but I'm voting for you because everything is wrong, and it's gotten so crazy." And I said, "Where do you live?" And she said, "King County." And I said, "Well, I know what you mean. I live in Seattle." And she said, "All my life I have worked to pay taxes and to take care of myself, and now I am watching people coming into this state and this region, and they are getting handouts and benefits that nobody offered me. So I'm paying for them." And she was so frustrated that her area, her neighborhood, was now being taken over by folks. Of course, I know she's talking about homelessness and a lot of the other problems that are have become such a huge dismay to so many people.
I call it the curse of the West Coast cities. It's like every coastal city has the same problem, and it's out of control.
Exactly, and there's so many different reasons for it, but the basic one is policy that enables and welcomes people to come from all over the country to take up residence and get drugs and get handouts and allows them to keep this addictive behavior, the mental illness, without any cure or without any treatment or rehabilitation. It's a very, very sad thing. It's sad for all of our families that have been affected by it. But most of all, our government just cannot be the enablers of this behavior. It's so uncivilized that you have to walk around human waste on the sidewalks of our great city of Seattle, just like they do in San Francisco. It's really astounding, and it is not improving the lives of civilization. It is going backwards, and that's where we all have to fight and say this is wrong. We have to stand up to this, and we cannot put more money behind this until the extremists who are running the show in Seattle commit to solving the problem instead of just allowing it to go on.
That's Susan Hutchison. She's a candidate for U.S. Senate. We'll be back to end our conversation and to have a few more comments from her right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
531.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ, I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Susan Hutchison. She's candidate for the U.S. Senate from the state of Washington. A lot of scrutiny has been added to the vote of every single woman in the Senate right now, whatever the case may be. I'm referring to Brett Kavanaugh, but any issue that comes up, a woman who is a senator, her vote is examined both as her representative of her state and her representative of her sex. How do you see that?
Well, you know, I have had a very wonderful life with a career in broadcasting and then running a charitable foundation and also in politics. And I don't see myself as representing all women. I will fight for women when there are injustices, and I will fight for men when there are injustices. I will fight for all of us, not based on how people can be divided up into categories, but because it is the right thing to do. I think we're beginning to lose what America was founded on, and that is e pluribus unum, from many one. We're a migration nation, and we've been able over the centuries to bring together people of all different varieties of races and creeds and color and nationality, and brought them to America or welcomed them into America so they can pursue the American dream. The American dream is open to everyone, and it doesn't matter if you're male or female or the color of your skin. Everyone has a dream to fulfill in America, and that's what I want to make possible.
The last question I asked all the candidates we've been talking to, and what we call the cavalcade of candidates, all the different races going on, is for them to ask the good people of Douglas County and Chelan County for their vote. So it's up to you now. You can ask for their vote.
Oh, it is my privilege. I know so many of the good folks of Douglas and Chelan counties because they served, all were represented in the state party when I ran it for 5 years. And so I have great affection for the people that I know. I am, a great fan of just the beautiful, landscape that you all enjoy and the hard work that, you put into making your lives and your families successful. So, I want you to know that I'll represent you to the best of my ability, and I need you to vote. This is a turnout election. It is all about who's going to turn out, and this year, if you are as concerned as I am about the direction the Democrats want to take this country, you have to vote, and you have to vote Republican, and not just for me. My name's at the top of the ticket, but all the way down the ticket, and that's the way we keep our country safe, we keep it on track, and we keep us focused on the American dream, our Constitution, and everything that makes the United States the greatest country in the world.
Susan Hutchison, candidate for U.S. Senate. Nice to talk with you once again, and congratulations on your race, and thanks for joining us here at KPQ.
Thank you, Michael. It's been fun.
News Radio 560, KPQ.